your privacy, and what car makers are doing with your data. It's the business news headlines for Wednesday, the 6th day of September, and a cool wave of weather has hit Iowa, and that is a welcome sign of fall. In other news, the EU targets big-name tech companies. We'll share why that's going on. Saying farewell to Brian Gumbel's Real Sports News magazine. WeWork is back in the news, not working out so well, it seems. Speaking of work, how motivated do you feel about your job? A new study suggests you're not. We've got the Wall Street Report, and thousands of daycare centers are closing. Thousands. And we'll tell you why. Let's go.
Insight on Business News and Comment with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Taro International, the premier interpersonal skills, research, and corporate training company. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. Focus and Find, a high-level, socially responsible search firm helping major corporations in their search for diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Funding also comes from the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization supporting the new and used agricultural and construction parts industry. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome back to the Wednesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. So grateful that you're with us again today. Want to follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter? You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. And over on Threads, it's Insight on Business. Perhaps one of the things you don't know is that car makers are big on sharing your personal data. Really? The Associated Press is reporting a new study finds that most major car manufacturers admit they may be selling your personal information, though they are vague on who the buyers are. And half of them say they would share it with the government or law enforcement without a court order. The use of sensors in automobiles, from telematics to fully digitized control consoles, has made vehicles a data collection hub. Researchers for the nonprofit Mozilla Foundation report that drivers are given little to no control over the personal data their vehicles collect. It's all packed into their newest Privacy Not Included survey. Once more, security standards are also vague, and that is a big concern given automakers' track record of susceptibility to hacking. Jen Kaltrider is the lead person for the survey, and this is what she said, quote, "Cars seem to have really flown under the privacy radar, and I'm really hoping that we can help remedy that because they are truly awful," end quote. She went on to say that cars have microphones and people have all kinds of sensitive conversations in them. Cars have cameras that face inward and outward. And unless they opt for a used pre-digital model, car buyers just don't have a lot of options, she said. Cars scored worst for privacy among more than a dozen product categories, including fitness trackers, reproductive health apps, smart speakers, and other connected home appliances. And Mozilla is making this known, and they've studied all this since 2017. Not one of the 25 car brands whose privacy notices were reviewed, chosen for their popularity in Europe and North America, met the minimum privacy standards of Mozilla, which promotes open-source public interest technologies and maintains the Firefox browser. By contrast, 37% of the mental health apps the nonprofit reviewed did pass the smell test. Wow, now you know. The major U.S. indexes closed in the red for yet another day, and what is turning out to be a very sluggish month for the equities. But this is all historic, and those numbers are coming at you in just a bit. Well, this is unpleasant news for big tech. The AP is reporting that six big tech companies, including Amazon, Apple, and Microsoft, face fresh pressure from the European Union. The EU is moving to counter their digital dominance with far-reaching rules aimed at giving users more choices and making competition more fair. Google parent Alphabet, Facebook owner Meta, and TikTok parent ByteDance also were classified as online gatekeepers subject to the strictest requirements of the 27 nations EU Digital Markets Act. The list of do's and don'ts seeks to prevent tech giants from cornering digital markets with the threat of whopping fines or even forcing companies to sell part of their business to operate in Europe. That means European users of big tech social media or chat services could soon be able to send messages to rival platforms, avoid having their data used to show personalized ads, and choose which search engine or browser they prefer rather than being stuck with a default version. The companies now have 6 months to start complying with the Digital Markets Act's requirements, which are spurring changes in how big tech companies operate. And no, nothing like this exists in the U.S. Well, it is the end of an era. After 29 years on the air, Brian Gumbel's Real Sports News magazine will end, according to HBO. The show has been like a 60 minutes of sports, taking a look at social and economic issues beyond the games, and has won 37 Sports Emmy Awards. Gumbel, who is 74, won a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Sports Emmys just this past year. Although HBO has seen cutbacks since the merger that created parent company Warner Brothers Discovery, the network said those financial considerations had nothing to do with the end of Real Sports, which is HBO's longest-running series. It was not immediately clear when the final episode would air. Just a few weeks after WeWork announced it was doubtful the office-sharing giant would stay in business, the company has announced it is rewriting leases in an effort to save money. The AP is reporting that the New York-based company must reduce its operating costs, notably its current lease liabilities, which remain too high and are dramatically out of step with current conditions. All of that, according to interim CEO David Tolley, in a statement published on the company's website. WeWork's lease liabilities accounted for more than two-thirds of its operating expenses for the second quarter of this year. As of June 30, WeWork had 777 locations in 39 countries. Meanwhile, the shuttering of select WeWork locations isn't something that's new. Just last fall, the company announced plans to exit 40 underperforming U.S. locations. And over recent years, WeWork has stopped paying rent or exited lease agreements early for a handful of locations nationwide. All of this, according to credit rating and research firm Morningstar Credit. In some cases, landlords' building loans moved to a special servicing category after losing WeWork as a tenant. Speaking of work, how motivated are you when it comes to your job? Well, it's likely you're not very motivated. Bloomberg is reporting that the AP Research Institute, that's an arm of a major U.S. payroll processing firm, unveiled its monthly Employee Motivation and Commitment Index with data going back to December of 2021. And the study says, as of August, that data stood at 100. That's the lowest level since June of last year and down from a December peak of 121. ADP says that values above 100 suggest growing commitment and motivation, while those at or below that level signals diminishing engagement. ADP said that workers who scored highly in motivation and commitment have less intent to leave an organization and tend to have higher levels of output. So, what does the study of 2,500 workers tell us? Highly productive workers are 2.6 times more likely to respond positively to questions about work and motivation compared with moderately productive workers and 4.9 times more likely than low productivity workers. Overall, about 4 in 10 workers are highly productive. By field, information and technology has the biggest share of highly motivated and committed workers, while education and transportation and warehousing, the smallest. Separately, annual survey data from Gallup has found that 34% of U.S. employees are engaged at work. That's slightly up from 32% just last year. It was another gloomy day on Wall Street as all three of the major indexes ended in the red. The Dow lost 198 points to close at 34,443, while the Nasdaq dropped 148 points to end the trade at 13,872, and the S&P 500 fell 31 points to finish at 4465. It has been an awful September so far, but that's not uncommon. In fact, it's widely viewed as a rotten month for stocks. Here's some history for you. Since 1945, the S&P 500 has dropped by 0.73% on average in September. That's compared to an average monthly gain of 0.7% for the index across all months over the same period. Meanwhile, The Guardian reminded its readers that the coming of autumn has coincided with such financial disasters as the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers in 2008, the Great Depression-era demise of the gold standard, and even the mother of all financial crashes, the collapse of the South Sea Bubble way back in 1720. So no, September is not a good month for equities. But it seems to be good for oil. Today, West Texas Intermediate crude gained 85 cents to close at $87.54 a barrel. And finally, there is this. And this is about the closing of thousands of daycare centers. With federal funding running out at the end of the month, more than 70,000 daycare programs could be at risk of shutting down, threatening to damage or even reverse American women's recent historic workforce advancements. The loss of $24 billion in pandemic-era funding, which helped childcare programs offer higher wages to attract staff and offset rising costs, could leave 3.2 million children without daycare. Parents, and particularly mothers, will face the choice to work fewer hours, switch to less demanding roles, or leave the labor force entirely. And what might all of this mean for the economy? An exodus of mothers from the workforce could worsen some labor shortages and cost states nearly $11 billion in tax and business revenue annually, plus deprive families of $9 billion in yearly earnings. Now you know. And that's a wrap. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a good evening. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.